Good afternoon, everyone. LJ here, the Go Biz Guy, the podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. Man, we got an exciting guest, and I'm pretty excited. I call her the Queen of West Virginia because I think she really is. And today's podcast is brought to you by, in part, by Focus Marketing Company. Focus Marketing Company is more than just a marketing agency. They're your partners in success. Your goals are their focus. See, I can't even read and drink coffee at the same time. Whether you're looking to increase sales, build your brand, or connect your audience, they've got you covered. They're talented, experienced team, specialized in social media elevation, video production, strategic planning, marketing campaigns, develop, and more. Choose Focus Marketing Company, where your goals are their focus. Visit them online today at focusmco.com, focusmco.com, and let them turn your visions into reality. Okay, so today's guest is pretty cool, and she owns her own publication and multiple publications. And so we're going to talk a little bit to Nikki Bowman Mills. She's a West Virginia native. She founded New South Media and serves as president of the company, publisher, and editor-in-chief. Welcome, Nikki Bowman Mills.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. So do you like wine?
I love wine.
Oh, okay. All right. So what's your favorite wine?
You know, I like a good Riesling, and my favorite is Dr. Lucen.
Okay.
But I can be persuaded to drink a Camus every now and then, you know.
Okay, so you've been evidently to several wineries, and have you been to any wineries up north in like Pennsylvania or anything? Or have you been to? I know West Virginia doesn't have very many wineries, and their wine is kind of sweet.
Yeah, I've not been to any wineries in Pennsylvania. You know, I feel like when I cross the border, I have to look across my shoulder a little bit sometimes. I don't want to get busted supporting other local companies.
That's funny. Yeah. So, okay. So you like Riesling. What do you pair that with?
Well, I'm love cheeses, and I think wine, Riesling will go with any type of, you know, hard cheese at all. So that's what I normally will eat. I'm not a big, red meat fan. So,
okay. All right.
You know, so I stay away from the reds.
Okay. Are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not a vegetarian. No.
Okay. All right. So you stay away from red meats. Is there like a purpose, or what's the health benefits of that?
Well, I would love to be a vegetarian. I just can't manage to completely swing it. And it is mostly health reasons.
Well, you know, being in West Virginia, that's like an oxymoron to say that you don't like red meat, because they're a meat potato group, right?
Well, I didn't say I didn't like it.
Okay.
I just said I've been, yeah.
Okay.
I do like it. And I do like a good bacon. I think that's been the hardest,
yeah.
The hardest thing. So, yeah.
That's interesting. So let's talk a little bit about West Virginia, if you don't mind. I mean, you grew up in West Virginia. Whereabouts did you grow up in?
So I grew up in Clay County. I always considered myself, I'm now in Morgantown, and so I always say I grew up in the southern part of the state, but really Clay is not in the southern part of the state, but I always felt like I was southern. I'm south of the SLA line.
I love that. That's good. Yeah. Okay. What was growing up like in Clay? I mean, I have some history. I'm from California originally, and I went to college in Virginia. And I don't know, when I stepped foot in West Virginia, dated a coal miner's daughter, went to a place called Sophia, West Virginia, and I'd never been to one side of a street town. And I asked the person, or I don't know, it was my girlfriend or somebody, I said, when are they going to do construction on the other side of that street? because I didn't understand the dynamics of a one-sided street. So that was the smallest little city that I'd ever been in West Virginia. And so what was it like growing up in Clay? And was there a city or town named in Clay?
Well, so there's Clay, the town seat, the seat is Clay of Clay County.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I lived in Turon. I lived in Big Otter. My family is, if you go back to my grandmother grew up in an area called Jumping Gut.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Nope. It's a great, someday if I ever have a distillery, I want to do a Jumping Gut gin.
Oh my gosh. That will rock.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I grew up actually, when I was really young, we lived in a trailer park in Turon, right along the Elk River. And then, later lived in Procious, lived in Big Otter. I mean, Ivydale, Duck. So all around, Clay County. So Clay County is a very rural, a rural county, as you can imagine, but really the only town in Clay is Clay.
Wow.
And it has it's two-sided street.
Okay. So it's got two sides. It's pretty modern in its fact. I've heard of some of those names, Procious and everything. And I think I've been to Procious. There was a camp that I heard about, and this guy had, I forget how I met him. I think I met him in college, but he had a youth camp there and he ministered to those kids that were, you know, doing jail time and everything, because the outdoors in that area were significant and very unique to his ministry there. So, you know, I heard about that from people, and Clay County is very rural. I was also listening to, or I saw some things on Facebook, or maybe it's TikTok. I don't know. I scan a lot of stuff, but they had this thing about West Virginia, and they had this thing about, the debt they had about the poverty level in West Virginia. So growing up in Clay County, what did your mom and dad do? I mean, what was the industry like, or was there an industry that they could go to?
Well, I come from a long line of I've got coal miners in my family, timber. You know, my grandfather owned a sawmill.
Okay.
But my parents divorced when I was very young, and I was it was just my mother and me, and so she worked at the bank in Clay County until she remarried, and then my stepfather actually worked at DuPont, so he traveled to Bell every day from. Yeah. From Clay, which was quite quite a hike for him.
Uh-huh.
So that was the, you know, and growing up, you especially when you grow up and you are, I was blessed to be around family all the time. You know, I lived with my grandmother for a while, and she worked at the county courthouse. So I have such fond memories of going with her and then hanging out at the library after school. And so it's just, you know, it's a tight knit community when I was growing up.
Well, I got to say, being from California and I went to Liberty University, and I was kind of labeled a liberal Christian because, you know, out in California, we wore shorts, and in Lynchburg, Virginia, you couldn't wear shorts. And so we were just, there was about 25 or 30 of us, and we had a California group of Christians. So it was entertaining, but at any rate, so I think one of the things that really connected with me, and I love the South. I think, being a part of a West Virginia coal miner's family, I can kind of relate to that. I automatically recognize the core values that not only those people had, but a lot of people have in West Virginia. They have good core values.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. And I think there's an incredible work ethic, you know. And we have to be entrepreneurial because you don't have things. So if you don't have it, you have to figure out how to make do with what you have. So by, you know, I look back and I think I was, you know, when I was in grade school, I would sell tadpoles to people, you know, to make money, to go buy candy, you know.
It oh my gosh, really?
Things aren't handed to you. So you have to be creative and figure it out. So I think there is a great, you know, there's a great tendency and tradition of being entrepreneurial when you grow up in small rural places like Clay or West Virginia altogether, honestly.
You know, that's interesting because I wanted to, and you can almost kind of trail me when I start asking these questions, because I think it's interesting that we all have our granddaughter is like 14. Okay. And she loves to watch the Shark Tank. Okay. When she was 12, she started a slime business. Okay. She knows her papa is a entrepreneur at heart. I've always been that way out in California and moved to West Virginia. Anyway, so she generated at 12 years old nearly $1,000 in sales. Okay, she did. She didn't need the money, right? Because her parents, her father's a pharmacist, or mother's got a master's in teaching and everything. I mean, so it's cool. But I think she's working on a lip balm for women now. Okay, and all this. I already have an investor for her. Okay. I mean, so, you know, when you get your start in entrepreneurship, for you to sell tadpoles, man, you had to get dirty, right?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think, you know, you could have your typical lemonade stand, but that wasn't, you know, I wasn't differentiating in my market, right? So and even at that young age, I knew I needed to do something different. Cause you can only drink so many, lemonades. I don't know what I was thinking of, like why you needed tadpoles, but, I would paint rocks and sell those. And I would go out and collect tadpoles and put them in little baggies yeah.
So that I was going to ask you, I mean, what did people eat tadpoles in Clay County?
No. I don't know what I honestly don't know what probably happened to them. I would say after people bought them, they dumped them out and just thought, oh, poor Nikki.
Okay. Well, so there wasn't a supply and demand of tadpoles in Clay County. So you painted rocks. What, you know, wasn't there a big industry boom or something where there was painted rocks or chia pets or something, right?
I was just way too early. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's where there was a huge movement of painting rocks and leaving them around, and people would collect the rocks and move them. And so you would see how far your rock would travel. But yeah, I was way ahead of my time, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like it. I mean, anybody that sells tadpoles, man, I tell you what, you've got my heart now. I mean, I've never heard anybody sell tadpoles before. I've heard people sell other things, but so you sell tadpoles. Okay. So that you were what, in high school or in middle school or what?
Oh, no. I was like five, six, probably 6 years old.
Very young entrepreneur. Did you have red hair?
I did not have red hair.
Okay.
As well, dark as, but I do have Scotch Irish in me. I could have been a redhead.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's cool. Okay. So I think the genetics plays a role. You mentioned your mother worked, and I think in a rural city, I think, and to hear kind of the bashing of West Virginia, you know, I was part of the tourism world there for a little bit and everything, worked with Miles Media. But the thing of it is I think that West Virginia gets bashed because they think nothing about, all they think about is coal mining camps. And I think there's a stigma of West Virginia. I'll just say this. You know, being from California, I grew up in a place called Ventura, California. Ventura is much bigger than Morgantown and probably Charleston, not put together, but it's considered a town in California, to give you some perspective. Okay. So I think to have the 1.5 or 1.7 population in West Virginia is a total demographics. But I really think it's cool to do what you did. And that's why I call you the Queen of West Virginia, because you were the founder. And I don't understand the founder of Turn This Town Around. And it was an entrepreneurial endeavor. So let's back up for a second, okay? Write this note down because I'm going to go back to it. But anyway, so you sold Tadpoles, all right? What was the next idea or product that you sold as you were growing up? Or did you have any entrepreneurial excitement or anything as you were growing up?
Well, I think, you know, I have to think about that. I mean, I've always worked, you know, as soon as I was old enough to babysit, I was making my own money, you know, I would to buy school supplies. And, you know, it just was expected, you know, that if you wanted something, you know, you weren't going to get a handout from your parents. And so I learned, you know, at an early age to work and the value of working and the joy that comes from creating something yourself and earning money yourself. And it makes you appreciate what you buy if you have to, you know, if you have to work for it too. So I think, you know, when I moved back to West Virginia to start New South Media, this has been 15 years ago, all of those traits and things that I had learned as a young person. And I had lived outside of West Virginia for 16 years by the time I returned back to West Virginia, you know, came back to me. They made who I am today. But the one thing, and you said this earlier, is about the perception of West Virginia. You know, my mission when I started my company was to change perceptions of West Virginia. And I knew that not only did I want to change perceptions of how people look at the state, I wanted to change how West Virginians looked at themselves, because I remember, what it was like growing up in a rural community and being looked down upon. I remember when I had a teacher who said to me in the third grade, ain't isn't a word. And she made me write ain't isn't a word on the 100 times on the chalkboard.
Oh, wow. How, really? Oh, my gosh.
Right. And yeah. That was very a formative time for me. But it made me, and I remember questioning her and saying, well, my dad says ain't all the time. And she said, well, people will think you're uneducated. And it was the first time I ever thought, what other people think about us? And it really opened my eyes to this whole perception of what it meant to be a West Virginian. And so when I decided to move back and move my family back to West Virginia, that was really important to me, is to start a company that could change perceptions. And as I mentioned, I think every publication, and we have four magazines that we produce, four brands. And then in addition to that, we do a lot of custom, from cookbooks to travel guides to, you name it. If it's around storytelling, we do it. And everything that we do has to answer to that question. Does it change perceptions? Does it lift West Virginia up and in the best possible light?
That's pretty awesome, because I think perception is a lot about everything, you know. I mean, I just ordered a travel guide from Lexington, Kentucky, and I was telling my wife, you know, she's kind of bedridden right now, but we have conversations, and I said, I ordered that Kentucky travel guide, and I said, it really sucks. I mean, there's nothing, the goal of that, I mean, the perception of Kentucky is almost like the perception of West Virginia, because we live in Kentucky, but the fact of the matter is just horses and bourbon, okay? And that's the perception that people have. And I think perception is the key. But one of the things that you know, you have West Virginia Living, you have a Bridesmaid magazine.
And so, West Virginia Weddings.
West Virginia Weddings. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. Okay. Didn't do my homework on that one. Sorry. but at any rate, I think what's interesting is that when you take that word perception and build it all the way around, I think you become a winner. You know, I don't think there's any loss. And I wonder if you have a meter or something that you know that the perception has been changed.
Well, I know it doesn't happen overnight, but yes, it happens every issue. Something happens to that lets us know we're on track. I'll share a story very early on. Okay. When I started the company. I had a, of course, in the beginning, as all entrepreneurs know, it's just you wearing all kinds of hats. And it was not any different for me. I didn't have, you know, I founded the company with my own retirement money. I did everything everybody tells you don't do when you're starting a company. And, but it was just me. And I was writing the stories, taking the photos, doing a lot of the design work, but then also answering the phone, selling the ads, and taking subscriptions. And so we did the, I had the second issue of the magazine was out, and I get a phone call from a woman from New Jersey. And this is West Virginia Living. So we have West Virginia Living, West Virginia Weddings, Morgantown Magazine, and we also do Wonderful West Virginia for the state. So the second issue of West Virginia Living had just come out, and this woman from New Jersey calls, and she says, I just had to call and tell you, I live in New Jersey, and my husband had just interviewed at WVU at the hospital, and got offered a job. And I told him there was no way I was moving to West Virginia. And she said, and then he wore me down. And I said, okay, fine, you can take the job, but I'm not coming. And I give you 2 years. And she said, and wow. So WBU had purchased several copies of the magazine and used them as a recruitment tool. So they were sending it to people they were interviewing or they were trying to recruit into the university, whether it was through the hospitals or, you know, professors.
Yeah.
And so he had brought that magazine home. And she said, and he brought home a copy, or I got a copy of the West Virginia Living magazine. And I just had to call to tell you that we are moving to West Virginia, and I can't wait to eat at the Pokey Dot Diner, which I had featured in the second issue in Fairmont. And so, you know, and we get things like that all the time is where, so the changing of perception happens. Our magazines are in all the hotel rooms around the state. So when someone is in a hotel room and they pick up a copy of West Virginia Living, they're getting exposed to another side of the state too, you know, so it's growing their awareness. And I have 100 stories like that. I mean, of people who have moved to West Virginia, who have discovered a new town that they didn't know about, or discovered some hidden gem in their backyard that they didn't know about. And so every issue, people reach out and say, wow, you know, this is incredible. And it's that is how we know we're on the right track, that we are moving the needle.
That is so cool, because I think, being from California, I think West Virginia does have some, you know, I'm not really a big fan of their wineries, because I'm a red blend guy, Moscato, not a Moscato, but a Merlot guy. But I think the perception is, you know, I think it's generational. Okay. I don't think that the coal miners generation will ever buy into a new generational look, but I think that you, I don't know whether you put yourself in a millennial or, you know, I know you're not a Gen Xer, but I think that when you market that and you see that there's generational movement, you know, and compounding that effect, I mean, I look at the eateries that just opened up in Herc in West Virginia. The mayor's a good friend of mine and everything. And we go across the state line to have access to some good restaurants, because that's one thing Ashland is not have. And so I think the perception needle that you're working on is fantastic. And to hear success stories like that is just really awesome. But I think
it's just about, you know, Lauren, you know, it's just about telling stories. I mean, this is, we have incredible stories that need to be told. And as West Virginians, you know, when we hear those stories, we sit up a little taller, you know, we stand up with pride because we are a very proud state.
Yes.
And we are such a small state that the community, you're one person removed from anybody, you know, I mean, it's
right,
just, it's,
right. Yeah.
It's an incredible, it's something very special about being a West Virginian that other states just don't have.
Nah.
So we're a close-knit group.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, I have one daughter that graduated from WU. My son-in-law's graduated from the pharmacy of WU. His brother went to WU. My daughter started to go to nursing school, but she camped out and didn't do that. So she went to University of Charleston to get her master's degree and or Marshall's to get her master's. Anyway, so, yeah, we're all connected. And I think it's crazy that I've not found that. I don't know, I want to call it a magic potion, but I've not found that in Kentucky. And I know every state, politically and otherwise, has the good old buddy system. But I think the good old buddy system in West Virginia is a little bit tighter. Wouldn't you agree?
The good old buddy system. I have some thoughts on that.
Okay, cool. Run it down, man. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
So when you say that, I think about, you know, the challenges that I've had as a female entrepreneur, as a female business owner.
Yes.
And running up against kind of the good old boys network, you know, really. And it is when I never thought it would be a thing. I never considered being a woman to, you know, would it hold me back? I just never did, you know, and I still don't look at people like that or, you know, try to bring judgment depending on, you know, what their sex is or anything. And it is interesting that how those challenges and hurdles still exist and the ones that I, you know, had to go through in the beginning. But when I was looking, when I started the company and I first wanted to, I thought I'm going to have some investors, you know, I've got this concept, this business plan. And I met with different investor groups and I pitched the story and I was told, oh, nobody will support a statewide magazine. It's been tried before and it's failed, or nobody in Wheeling cares about what's happening in Charleston. And I was just told no, 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 over and over. But every one of those meetings, I walked out with job offers. And in every one of those, and in every one of those meetings, I was the only female at the table.
Right.
And so the men, you know, were controlling the purse strings, right? And yep. You hear about this all the time. It's hard for women to get access to capital, and it's real. I never thought about it being real. So flash forward to, I went through a divorce after, probably 11 years ago.
Okay.
And so after I went through a divorce, I had reached out to a bank about, okay, you know, I wanted to, you know, get a loan. I was looking at, you know, a line of credit and, you know, trying to do all the things because it was, you know, just me now.
Sure. Right.
And I was told by not one, but not two, but three different banks.
Oh my
God. Needed to have my husband, you know, sign, help co-sign. And I was like, I don't have a husband. I'm going through a divorce. You know, like, why can I not do this? It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And that was just, you know, 10 years ago. So so I don't mean to get on my,
continue on because, I think, you know, And you know, our daughter, Morgan, I mean, she is, she's the heart and soul of women entrepreneurs as well. And I think that you're right. The good old buddy system. That's why I think there's even in politics, I think there's a stigma of women. And would I vote for a woman president? I may do that. Okay. Because I think there's some really neat stuff within what God has designed within a woman to give them some insights into a lot of stuff that men don't have. Men are too logical in their thinking. And so, you know, I'm batting around the ball here. But I think that entrepreneurs, you know, you said, you know, a few minutes ago that you had to do everything.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've ever been to restaurants in Lexington, Kentucky. But my wife and I had we had to go up to the cancer
Just
center.
To let you know, I lived in Danville, Kentucky for a year, actually. So I have been. I do know Kentucky pretty well.
Good for you. So we went to the Marquee Cancer Center yesterday, and she had some MRI stuff and met with her team of doctors. But anyway, so I tried to take her out to some decent restaurants. We took her out to Carson's. You ever been to Carson's?
Oh, no, I have not.
If you're ever in Lexington, you can rest assured you will thank me and text me, thank you so much for this restaurant, going to Carson's. So we went to Carson's, and, you know, so, and I'm a private investigator when it comes to waiters and waitresses or waitresses. And for that matter, talking to people in line, I am a private investigator, but it's interesting to hear people's story. And so we had this really nice woman. Her name was Paige. And I asked her, I said, you know, how long you've been working here? Okay. And she said, about 2 years. And so we talked to the lady that set us down. We almost had a 10-minute conversation with her, and I'll move, you know, kind of quickly here. But so I asked Paige, I said, did you possibly attend UK? You know, because that's the blood of West or Kentucky is UK, right? Just like WU is,
right?
Mm-hmm. So I said, did you go? Yeah, I did. And I majored in communications and marketing and everything. I said, that's cool. I said, you're working here for 2 years. You're not going to follow your, what you got an education in? And she said, no, I'm not. She said, I love yoga. I said, really? You love yoga? Okay. And so anyway, the path to entrepreneurship is, and you know this because I think you have to, you started with tadpoles, okay? And I think you have to have something that ignites you that says, I don't want to go to college. I want to start my own business. But I have no idea how to start my own business. But I told her, I said, listen, if you love yoga and you want to start your own yoga shop or something, you know, you need to save up money because I figured it would not be easy for a woman to get capital because I think that's a real problem, as you indicated. And so I said, you need to work, save up some capital and investigate what you need to do. But I said, you need to walk one step at a time for your dream. Do not hold back on your dream. And don't your marketing and your communications will come in handy with what your business will be all about.
Well, I would add to that, you know, I have always said that I feel like if you know what your, I always tell businesses, because, you know, when it's know what your mission is and what your differentiator is, you know, yeah, if you're open a yoga studio, but you don't want to open a yoga studio right next door to another yoga studio.
Nope, no.
But you need to know what differentiates you, but also what your mission is, because if you're passionate about what you're doing, the money will come, you know, and you're right. I mean, the skill set of marketing, will always, will help you no matter what path you would take. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, but I look back and I think, so we did we have a custom site. So New South Media is my company. We publish all these magazines. We also have a custom content creation site called Narrative by New South, where we do storytelling, custom pieces, travel guides, websites, blogs, you know, what have you.
Okay.
But we also did for 4 years, we did the U.S. Small Business Administration's federal, their only, toolkit for the country on small business growth and development.
Oh,
so we
gosh.
Did 70. Yeah, we did 72 around the country. And so we printed about 1 million copies and a year wow. of this wow. piece. And we worked in, you know, so we did like 7 in California, 6 in Texas. I mean, every state we had multiple or at least one magazine in every state. And then we did one in Spanish. But why I took on that and became a government contractor in order to do it was because I really believed I wanted to help create the toolkit and the advice that I never had starting out. You know, okay. No one ever sat me down nope. and told me this is how you start a business. I made lots of mistakes.
Sure.
And I right. mean, it, just not knowing the questions. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. You don't right. know the questions to ask. Uh-huh. And so you just make like B&O tax. I didn't know I was supposed to pay B&O tax. I never even heard of it.
Right.
You know, until I get this letter from Morgantown saying, you know, you've been in business for a year and you haven't paid any B&O tax. And I had to Google it. I was like, what is B&O tax? I mean,
B&O tax is not body odor. So
any case, that was why we did that piece, because I felt like it was really important for nuts and bolts, you know. But then now, as I've grown our business and we've done, you know, we're not a typical media company. I never wanted to be. So we launch all kinds of initiatives. We have, you mentioned Turn This Town Around. That was one. We also have a West Virginia Wonder Woman award, at which your daughter has been.
Yes, right.
Yeah. And so part of these initiatives have allowed us to diversify and do other things that a typical media company wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just about growing and educating and forming community around that. So, you know, when you mentioned Turn This Town Around, that was something we created that I had some partners on it, the Community Development Hub. I also went to Benedum Foundation to ask for some money.
Great organization, Benedum.
It is West Virginia's foundation. It's amazing what they have done for the mm-hmm. state. But right. so when we launched Turn This Town Around, it really was an economic development initiative that went into small communities. We had a competition. Our readers chose the towns they wanted to see turned around. And it really started because as I travel from one end of the state to the next, I go through a lot of small towns and yes. a lot of them are dying on the vine. Mm-hmm. And as you drive through, you realize there's evidence of a day that was, you know, that their heydays, and you know, just some of these buildings are amazing yes. and beautiful, and right. you just wonder what would it take uh-huh. to bring people into this community. So that's where the idea came from. And when we launched it, Grafton was one of our first towns, and Matewan in southern West Virginia wow. was our first. There was our first two towns.
Wow.
And the whole point of it was to lift up the communities, give them a little bit of resources, but let them choose what projects could the community really get around to kind of launch change. And a lot of that was around, you know, small business growth and development. So that is really near and dear to my heart. It was a really great initiative, but I learned a lot and I'm still learning, you know. So it is, no matter where you are as an entrepreneur, I feel like I never feel like I'm out of the startup stage, which is funny, even though we're celebrating 15 years. I mean, we just launched a store and a restaurant. You know, my husband and I bought 10 warehouses in Granville, right across the river from the Coliseum in Morgantown. And we have a bakery in one. We just launched a restaurant and a retail shop that only sells West Virginia made and products about West Virginia. And I think entrepreneurs have this tendency is that you're always in some kind of startup mode, well, but you know, that's part of being an entrepreneur.
Listen, I tell everybody I have a disease and it's called entrepreneurship. Okay. And if I don't know why I have that, but my dad had a hot dog thing going on where you put hot dogs in a bars and small convenience stores and everything. And I, as a kid, I would watch him and everything. And these were the best hot dogs. I've still not found anything that tasted like these. But at any rate, so if somebody comes to me, I have a friend of mine that owns a pressure washing business. And I met him at a home show. And we kind of connected and everything. And I told him, I said, I do some consulting. I've consulted some tech companies, and I have no formal education behind me. Okay. If I was to have a master's degree, it'd be because I have experience of failures and successes in business. Okay. And so what happened was we connected and he said, I got to run some ideas by you. And I said, okay, that's cool. So we had lunch. We had more lunches. I didn't charge him a thing. I didn't, because my goal is kind of like your goal, is that I want to see entrepreneurs flourish, because I think our economy nationwide is run by small businesses, and they don't give enough credit to small business owners because they have a big, huge lobbying base to make some huge decisions. And so anyway, that was a sidebar political statement. But at any rate, so what happened was that we met and met and met and met. So anyways, I was able to generate with him and consult with him. And it was so cool. It was such a blessing. But I generated about $150,000 in new revenue with him. Okay. And he's an ag teacher. He has a master's in agriculture in Greenup County here. Okay. And he's to the point right now, he's about $400,000 in revenue, and he's about to quit his teaching job and doing this full time. See, that's what I think entrepreneurs is all about, okay, is because I love that you guys, is your husband a real estate guy, or is he just an investor?
He's an architect.
Okay, all right, so he's got money. Yeah. And so, but did you guys got that, and you're putting bakery, man. I'd love to have a good bakery. And what kind of restaurant do you have? Because I'll make a special trip up there to have dinner.
Well, it's funny you mentioned hot dogs. We have what we are calling worldly wieners. The restaurant is, and the retail shop is called The Farm, the Food Arts Recreation Market.
I love it.
And so the retail side, the restaurant is in the back, and we have worldly wieners and home style dishes that we do. And when I say worldly wieners, they're elevated. So there's like a duck sausage, a bison sausage, more like brats, very different. And then we have a small event center called the Silo in the Square. So it is, so we've diversified there. But my point and even sharing that is that, when you're an entrepreneur, you're always looking for the gaps. What I tell people, where are the gaps and how do you fill them? And it's hard to turn that off, even though when you're starting out and you need the nuts and bolts of how to start a business, when you're an entrepreneurial mid stage, you have different needs. You have different, now how's your access to capital to grow, and maybe you don't know how to go about that. And then maybe you're a seasoned entrepreneur and you have a whole different set of issues. Now we're talking, you're looking at, what's your retirement plan? How are you going to transition? So entrepreneurs, I think West Virginia is a state of entrepreneurs and a state of small businesses. They're not necessarily the same, I don't think, but it is really important to know where to go for those kind of, those answers, and to surround yourself by people like you were doing, being a mentor and helping folks navigate through those stages. That's what it's all about.
It's fascinating. I mean, I have another friend of mine. He wants to be a handyman business, and he just moved from Georgia or something like that. So it was crazy. We met in Kroger's. I had my headsets on, and I was listening to Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. And he said, "Do you play drums at a church?" And I said, "No, I don't." We got talking and everything. So long story short, we created a relationship, and I got to go back to how businesses operate and everything, because I've been through some really downsizing of corporations. I was corporate trainer developer of a region long distance company, came to them via MCI, and generated, $1.5 million with them in new revenue. And so I'm a doer. And, so anyway, getting back to my friend, he said, I want to start a handyman. I said, I'll tell you what, I said, you're probably short at capital right now. I said, I would work my butt off. Again, kind of the same story I told Paige. I'd work my butt off, save some capital and everything. And I would start to do small handy work on the weekends. Okay. Like if you want to build a deck, build a deck. If you want to paint a house, paint a house. So I said, get that. But it's all about relationships, because I've seen people grow their businesses based on relationships. So back when you started, you had no relationships, right?
Right, right. I had to build them.
Yeah. So how did you build them?
Oh, I went to every, in the beginning, I spoke at every Bible study group there was. I went to every Rotary Club and talked and told people about what I was doing. And that's how the magazine started. I mean, if anybody invited me to speak, I was, yes, I'll do that. And I just traveled all over the state, sharing the word, and that is how I grew it. And then it was going to every conference that was relevant, you know, networking with business organizations. For me, Generation West Virginia was really important. The chambers, you know, becoming a member of the chamber and actually forcing myself to, you go to the meetings and just learning to not be intimidated by walking up to someone and saying, you know, right. We've never met. It's hard to do. I still hate it. I hate doing it.
Yeah.
Now it's nice when you walk. I just recently, last year, I was at the state chamber event at the Greenbrier, and I was just thinking about, gosh, how much easier this is than the first time I came, you know, where people will come up to me and say, hey, you know, it's nice to see you. And they want to talk about something instead of me having to always, you know, work a room. It's pretty awesome to get to that other side. So it's worth the effort.
Yeah. Well, how did you get on the speaking docket of these organizations? I mean, that takes a lot of networking, too.
Yeah, it does. I found, I don't think there was really a magic sauce to it, but I spoke to one Rotary group, and then somebody there recommended me to another Rotary group. And then I was, and then before I knew it, you know, it had just started to snowball.
Yeah.
And, first place I went was to my mother's church in Elkview and cool. West Virginia, and spoke to a bunch of people like that. Of course, used social media. When I would post, really enjoyed speaking to this Rotary group, then I'd have 10 invitations from another.
Cool. That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we've covered some really good stuff on entrepreneurship. I think we've covered some of the pros and cons, but let's just kind of highlight some of that stuff. The pros are what? What are the pros of being an entrepreneur?
Sometimes you think, gosh, remind me why I did this.
Yeah, right?
I mean, you have those days, that's for sure. But you have to know that that's normal too. The pros of being an entrepreneur is you are, I don't want to say that you don't answer to someone, because you're always answering to something, you know,
exactly,
it is,
right?
You're always answering to the client, to, you know, I'm answering to my advertisers, my readers, you know, I'm always beholden and, to someone else. But the beauty of it is the creativity. I mean, one of the benefits is being the decision maker and being able to pivot. You know, as an entrepreneur and as a small business owner, I can pivot much faster than a larger organization.
Yep.
I can see. So, you know, when COVID hit, or I mean, I started my company in 2008, which was the worst time ever.
Right.
For print.
The economy was not really good right then. Yeah.
And so I knew I was either sink or swim. If I could make it through that recession, then I felt like, well, then I'm golden, you know. Well, I didn't anticipate having with a pandemic, you know, on top of it either. So part of being an entrepreneur is knowing that you can pivot when things are dealt, when the cards are dealt that you're not prepared for.
Right.
And that's also exciting, you know, but you do have to have a certain type of personality, you've got to have a high level of stress tolerance, a high level of risk tolerance too, because there's always risk. If you don't, if you're risk averse, it's probably not a lifestyle for you.
Right.
Because you, and you have to have a pretty strong, I think some, you've got to have some confidence in your abilities to know that even if something doesn't go as planned, that you can figure it out, that everything is, you know, figure outable. You can do it. So there's a level of excitement in that.
There is. Now, what are the, some of the cons?
That you, are never off, you know, you, an entrepreneur, a small business owner, it's, you're always on, you know, you're always answering to something. I mean, I own multiple businesses now, and there's not a day that I'm not dealing or working on my business. And I say that as a con, as you know, it's, if you think, oh, I'm just going to go take a month off and the business will run itself. I haven't figured out that, potion.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. I have a fantastic team who are very capable now. Yeah. I mean, it's not just me, but but the business still doesn't run itself.
No.
You know, I'm still working it. You're still answering, answering those emails. The hard, I think the hard part, of entrepreneurship is it is also some of the things that make it great too. You know, it's two sides of every coin, that part of the stress. I mean, I wish it weren't so stressful. Mm-hmm. I wish, you know, but when you employ people and you have 15 people who paycheck, their families are dependent on that paycheck, there's a level, you know, every day I'm aware of that. There's not a day I'm not aware of that. And that I am constantly figuring out how do we diversify? How do we, you know, how trying to identify bumps in the road before you hit them, you know, trying to do that. So it isn't a path for the faint of heart,
right?
But it is really rewarding when at the end of the day, you think, I did this, I have employed 15 people, and I have changed, you know, we have changed perceptions of West Virginia, and we've helped businesses grow. We've helped towns, people discover towns that have never been, you know, people who've never been there before. And that at the end of the day feels really good. And it's bigger than any paycheck, you know, that kind of, that's why I always say you have to have a mission, because, you know, it's not like I'm making, you know, sitting down and making $1 million. It is, but some of the value, a lot of the value comes from the people you help and the stories you tell.
I'm telling you what, I think, and you're right. I mean, missions, core values. I know a company that in their training of, they're in the restaurant business, but in their training, they write down about 5 core values, and they tell them, they say, listen, if you don't like these core values, you're not going to work here. Okay. And I think that a mission statement, someone like you, that knows how to take care of people and interest them, you're always going to grow. Okay. I don't care whether you like have 40 people, you're going to not micromanage those people because you understand entrepreneurship. And if you give those people the entrepreneurship within your company, you're going to see the ultimate growth. Okay. You're not going to be hindered by just you micromanaging, because micromanaging in an entrepreneurship environment sucks. You're not going to ever get results. And so, you know, I think that you're going to continue to grow. And I want to congratulate you on 15 years of starting out with selling tadpoles, okay, to actually selling the state of West Virginia in a new, different perspective. When I was in the tourism industry a little bit and everything, I had about a $1.5 million nugget that I had to crack there as well. But I always thought that your magazine should be the light of West Virginia tourism, and I would go to work for you. But I mean, you, you understand, because you do such a great job. And I think that you should have the state travel guide. You should have all of those components because of the quality that you've positioned yourself with. And so I think you've done,
thank you.
Yeah. You're awesome. And I think your company, you know, I know Buddy from way back and everything. You have a great team that I know of, and
yeah, I do.
And so that's critical because you can hand pick where a lot of people can't hand pick. Okay. And so, but the core values of your company and the mission statement of your company, sometimes the mission statement changes within a corporate environment. Excuse me. And that's okay. But if you have good core values, you know, I'm not saying you have to be religious. I'm not saying, but you know, if you have some fundamentals about faith and you have some fundamentals about people, you have some fundamentals about a lot of stuff, you've got good core values. And I think that West Virginia is a good core state for so many things, you know, and
I agree.
Yeah. So I just really appreciate
you.
And I really appreciate this podcast. And again, I want to congratulate you on 15 years of celebration. And you keep on keeping on. I mean, we could almost talk for another hour, okay?
Very much so.
Yeah, because I love this conversation. And I think that, you know, entrepreneurs, I mean, anyway, I'm done. Thank you so much.
thank you, Lauren. Thank you. All right. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, take care. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye-bye.